Father, we just thank you and praise you. Once again, you've shown up here in our midst, and we thank you for that, Lord. Jesus, you are the almighty, wonderful, merciful Savior, and I'm so glad that you're my Savior. Lord, I pray that there's people here today that have come here seeking you and that they will find you. Lord, I pray for their souls, each and every one who've come through these doors, Lord, that they will repent and turn from their sin today and follow you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Brent as he gives a powerful word, Lord. I pray you use him in a mighty way, Lord. Father, he's a wonderful man of God, knows the word of God, and speak through him today that we would hear him loud and clear. And we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now remain quiet. And if I come around and tap you on the shoulder, don't be offended. I'm just asking you to respect this time and to listen to the word of God. Amen.
Good morning, guys. It's a tremendous privilege for me to be able to stand up here and do this to you guys. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. If you guys don't listen to anything today, at least listen to the reading of the Word of God for a second, because it's the only thing that can save you. Anything I say is not going to save you, but it's the power of God and salvation through His Word. Okay, so if you could listen up, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 6. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though for perhaps a good person one would dare to even die. God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now are we reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." And that's Romans chapter 5, guys. So what I want to do is pray real quick. Father, thank you. Thank you that I can stand in your presence. Thank you that I can be used by you to give a word. I pray you would quicken the hearts of the people. Make them new again, Father. Break up the hard heart and the fallow ground that they might receive the implanted word of the gospel. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. So what is reality? Reality is this. Today, 150,000 people are going to die. That's 2.2 every second. Every time I do that, 2.2 people are dying. Which one of those clicks has your name on it? Every second, 2.2 people die. That's the reality. And the other reality is there is a hell. And there are people going there. Now my question is, where are you going? 10 out of every 10 people will die. And there's coming a day in which you will perish. As I look out before me, I see slaves. I see people who are slaves to sin in bond and chains. Or they're slaves to God. Christ comes down and frees a man, breaks those chains. And in gratitude, he follows him as a slave. The Bible has a word called bondservant. The actual word is doulos, which means to be a slave unto God. Now, what I wanted to deal with is look at your condition and your need. First of all, we have to look at the heart. You have a heart condition. Your heart is depraved and wicked. And I want to look at some scripture, so this is just not me saying this. Romans chapter 5 says, "For as one by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many were made righteous." Genesis 6:5 says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Do you see that? The heart of man it goes after sin and evil. And the thoughts, your thoughts, are only evil continually. Okay? You say, but I'm good. I have good thoughts. I have good intentions. But listen, if you're not a Christian, the good things that you do, you have selfish ambition driving that behind there, removing the good that it was. Genesis 8:21 says, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth.'" That's evil from a child. Let me ask you a question, guys. Have you ever had to teach your children to be mean, to hate, to smack each other, to lie? When you confront them about something, they lie immediately, don't they? That's because their heart is wicked from birth. It's not something that needs to be taught. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says that God restrains the evil of men. So the only reason that you are not like a Hitler or a Mussolini or an Osama bin Laden, or I wasn't that, is because God restrains the evil of men. Okay? So what happens is that God doesn't allow you to have the opportunity to do the sin you want to do. If you want to do a whole line of crack or heroin, and God doesn't give you the money or the means to get it, the intent is there. Your heart wants to do it. It's given over to it already, but the only problem was you didn't have the opportunity. So God restrains the evilness of men. Now, man's spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We have to look at Ephesians 2, starting with chapter 1. "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, and once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now work in the sons of disobedience, among whom you once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Okay, do you see that? Do you see that it says men are dead in trespasses and sins? Who is? Down here it says in verse 3, it says, "Among whom you once also lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body." So if you have not received Christ, all you're doing is pleasing yourself, pleasing your body. You're always given to lust and fornication, and you're always feeding your lusts. In your breast beats an idol factory. All we do is produce things that come before God and draw us away from Him and away from His presence and hardening our hearts. There's a scripture that says the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is a lie and it's deceitful. And what it does is it starts to harden the heart. And what happens is after a period of time, your heart becomes like a stone. And what happens is that God needs to do something for you to see. So let me ask you a question. If a man's dead, have anybody ever seen a dead man? Raise your hand if you've seen a dead man before. Can a dead man respond when you say hello? Can a dead man respond? If there's a dead man up here and I pinched him behind the arm, is he going to jump? No, because he's dead. He can't respond. And it also says that in Ezekiel that when your heart gets hard, it's like a stone. So if I had a statue up here and I pinched the stone, if I pinched the statue behind the arm, it wouldn't jump either. Why? Because it can't respond. That is your plight right now for those outside of Christ. Man is also blind to the gospel. That's why some of you are sitting here today talking, not paying attention, don't care. And that's why there's a fight going on, because these men are selfish. Men are offended. And I'm about to offend them with the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this, "And if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing." If the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. "In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18 speaks along the same lines. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. So when people stand up here and preach, and you guys are not paying attention, it's because it's folly to you. It's because you don't care. You think this is stupid. This is a game. It is not. You think it's foolish because your heart's hard and you don't care. It's because you're lost. And one day when you perish and you stand before a holy God and He judges you, you will tremble and you will bow your knee before Him because you didn't in this life. So please, I beg you, I implore you, listen. Listen. Please listen. So if you're blind and you're dead and you can't respond to the gospel, you can't see because you're veiled. You've been blinded by the prince of the power of the air and the devil, the ruler of this world. What must be done? The answer is in Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So what must be done is we must preach the gospel. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. It means dynamite. It's like power. That's where we get the word dynamite from. So because your heart is hard, there's a dam and there's water filling up behind it. And what happens is we throw a stick of dynamite at it and it blows up and that water comes out. That's the living waters of Christ flowing to you and through you. And that's what we're trying to do today, is preach the gospel, the dynamite that blows up that hard heart and that dam to let the living waters flow through you. Okay? And who can get saved? Salvation to everyone who believes. So what is required to believe? Okay, listen. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the only thing that can save a man. Okay? So listen up. What is the gospel? The gospel is this. You, sitting before me, and me, are wicked. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? So what we need to do, the Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Galatians 3:24 says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And that in Romans chapter 3, it says that the law will shut the mouth of a man justifying himself and make everybody open and guilty before God. So what must we do? We have to preach the law of God. What is the law? The Ten Commandments. We have to go through the Ten Commandments. Has anybody here ever looked with lust in your life? The seventh commandment says don't commit adultery. But when Jesus came, He didn't lower the bar, He upped the bar. He showed us that our thought life matters as well. If you look with lust, Matthew 5:28 says, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever told a lie? The ninth commandment says, don't bear false witness against your brother. That's a lie. Have you ever told a lie before? That would make you a liar. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? That's the third commandment. That's blasphemy. The Bible says God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You will be accountable on that day. You will be accountable. That's just a couple of the Ten Commandments. How many have you broken so far? James says if you fall at one point, you're guilty of breaking them all. Listen, 1 Corinthians. Let me read just a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 6:9. That way you don't think I'm making something up here. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards." Does anybody have an alcohol problem here?
Pull the mic closer. Preach to the back of the room. Try it, because I have trouble hearing that.
Okay. "Nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Listen, Revelation 21:8 says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You think that's pretty harsh, don't you? One lie can send a man to hell. How many people here have never told a lie? If you raise your hand, you're a liar. Listen, I say this to you, please, once again, I implore you, listen, please, soften your heart. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Why is that? Why is that? God is holy. He is perfect. He is completely separate. We have all of creation here, everything we see, the mountains, the skies, the planets, everything we see, and God is completely separate. He is completely holy. He created it all. The Bible says that He measures the universe in the span of His hand. He is gigantic. And you will stand before Him in judgment. Listen, why can a lie send a man to hell? Here's why. Listen up. It's God's justice. Okay? What happens, here's my daughter. What happens if I lie to my daughter? She might be upset with me, right? That's my consequence. Okay? What happens if I lie to my wife? I'll probably sleep on the couch. But depending on the severity of the case, I could be getting a divorce, right? What happens if I lie to the President of the United States? Well, there is still a law in the books called treason, and it's punishable by death. It's still a capital punishment crime. Okay, so in the same way, when I lie to God, we deserve hell. Why is that? Because as the importance of the person increases, or the position of the person increases, so does the consequences against that person. You see that? That's why hell is a just place. And that's why we deserve it. If we lie and sin against God, we deserve to go to hell. So listen, if you keep hardening your heart, every time that you hear this message, every time that you hear the gospel and you fail to respond, your heart gets harder and harder and harder, and God's judgment mounts on you more and more. The wrath starts to pile up, and one day He's going to let loose and let it go and fall upon your head. Listen, Romans 2:5 says this, "But you, because of your hard and impenitent heart, are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking," do you hear that? "For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. To the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." So listen. So who is guilty here? Everybody. Okay? So what must be done? We are guilty before a holy God. And it says in Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed for a man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. God will judge you according to your sins. Every thought of your heart will be laid open before God. Every lustful thought, every thought you thought about somebody else. Just because you're not bad on the outside, you're not out committing horrible sins, your thought life will be laid open before God. You'll be filleted, so to speak, before the presence of God. And we will be guilty. So picture a courtroom. If you guys have ever been to court, picture a courtroom. Okay? God is about to judge. And what must be done? We're guilty. We're sentenced. We're supposed to go to our punishment, which most cases is jail, but in this case, it's eternal damnation. It's hell. Okay? So what must be done? Jesus Christ. Listen, guys. Jesus Christ, because of His great love for you and me, He came and became a man. And this is important. He had to be born of a virgin so He didn't inherit the sin of men, the sin of Adam. Okay? He lived a perfect, holy life for 33 sinless years. And then, when He was on the cross, when the men put Him on the cross, it says in 1 Peter 2:24 that He bore our sins in His body on that tree. And then it says in Isaiah 53 verse 10 that it pleased God to crush Him. The fury and wrath of God fell upon Jesus, crushed and killed Him. Okay? That was in your place. That's the love of God. You deserve wrath. You deserve fury. You deserve hell. And it fell upon the head of the Son. It fell upon Jesus Christ in your place. Okay? So back to the courtroom picture. What is it? God's a judge. You're being judged. You're guilty. Okay? You've broken God's commandments. You've broken God's law, the Ten Commandments. And Jesus paid your fine in His life's blood. Okay? So if I have a $10,000 fine, it's like God coming down and paying $10 trillion for that fine. Why? Because the worth and the value of Jesus Christ far exceeds the value of any man that ever lived, any creation, any creature. He is Lord of Lords. And He came down and humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now let's look at that key verse that we were talking about before. In Romans chapter 5, we'll start with verse 8 this time. But God shows His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Do you see that? For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now are we reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Okay? Do you see that? That is the gospel. That is what saves a man. So what is your response to the gospel? You see what Christ has done. You see the glory of God in that. You see that He paid the price for you out of love. So what's your response? You repent. You turn from sin. You turn from that sinful lifestyle and wanting to justify yourself, thinking you're good, and put that trust and hope in Christ. So you turn from sin. You must repent and trust in Christ for your eternal salvation. And if you do that, you shall be saved. But listen, it's not as simple as you think. Once you sign up to be a Christian, it's a life of suffering. It's a life of hardship. It's a laying down of self. Jesus said that if you don't turn from sin, you don't lay down all these life pleasures, these self-seeking pleasures, you have no part with Me. So with gospel call comes gospel warning. Do you understand that? If today that you come and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you go and you leave this place today and you turn back to that sinful lifestyle that you were living, you are not a Christian. You hear me? It doesn't matter what you profess. It matters what how you live and your thoughts. Listen, the Bible talks about false teachers, false prophets, and false converts. Just because you say I'm a Christian doesn't mean you are. We must live a life pleasing in the sight of God. And listen, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Many of you have sat here through message after message after message after message. You heard enough gospel to save Asia, and yet you remain unmoved. And you think because you've been here and you've heard this before, that you're a Christian because you come to church or you listen to this message or you read your Bible. It says deceiving your own selves because you're a hearer of the word and not a doer. You must do the word. You must do the will of the Father to enter into the kingdom. Do you understand that? And that's the gospel warning. The gospel warning is if you remain unchanged, if Christ doesn't change you, you're not a Christian and you do not belong to Christ. Do you understand that? So anybody who is troubled in their soul today and who needs Christ, please come forward. We have men, Steve, and men around us here that will pray for you. We just ask that you come, and we'll pray for you. And I'm going to close in prayer right now as well. Father, make Yourself known to this people, Lord. Those who sit here and aren't moved, Lord. The men who are fighting and just so much stuff that's going on. I just pray, Father, Your presence would fall, that people would leave here changed, Father, and they wouldn't remain in their lost state, Lord, but they would come and glorify You and not rob You of the glory you could gather lives, Father. Call a people to yourself now in Jesus' name. Amen.